It's Monday, May 5th, 2013. You're listening to Media Mornings, brought to you by W2 Media. We're broadcast on Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM in the heart of the downtown east side on unceded Coast Salish territory. Media Mornings tries to make sense of headlines and give you some news you might not find anywhere else. My name is Jane Bowie, and with me in the studio is...
Hi, I'm Ayan Kreitzman, and we invite you to follow us on Twitter. Our handle is at W2 Media, and check out our website, w2media.ca, for podcasts, links, and more info. This morning, we'll be discussing the economy with Iglika Ivanova, economist and public interest researcher with the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives, BC. Hey, Iglika.
Good morning.
So it's great to have you on the show.
It's always a pleasure to be on the show.
This year's provincial election is really focused on the economy. But it is a narrow definition of the economy, and it's frequently pitted against the government, as if government plays little or no role in the economy, or as if the economy is to grow, the government should not play a role in that, other than providing tax breaks and cutting red tape for business. So we want to explore these ideas this morning. Maybe we could even back up a bit. When people talk about the economy, what is that? What's the economy?
Well, the economy, I guess, most broadly can be described as the rules that we make for ourselves, like how we decide what is being produced, who produces it, and who gets to use it, or how it's distributed. And government, I think, plays a very important role in it. Now, we should keep things in perspective. I mean, as usual, things are a little more complex than they appear on the surface. But the real issue here is that... Yes, we're a small economy, considering the global situation. So on the global stage, British Columbia is quite small, and we are dependent on what happens in the rest of the world. The issue is that our provincial government can actually make us more or less dependent on what happens in the rest of the world. For example, the current government's strategy of relying on natural resource extraction in basically exporting raw resources as our basis of economic development is actually making us more dependent on the world. Because if we're only going to be selling resources, we depend on the market price of those resources that gets determined outside of us. So when the price goes up, we have a boom, and the price goes down, we have a recession. And that's kind of what we've been seeing lately, and with the current government's proposals, and, you know, LNG, natural gas strategy, we're going to see even more of that. We're going to be riding that roller coaster of world commodity prices even more.
Yeah, that I think that's important to sort of put it into a larger context. The main proponents of the whole concept of government out of the economy in this election are the Liberals and Conservatives. But I've noticed that even the NDP seems really reluctant to link government policy and government spending to building the economy. And can you talk about whether even things like spending on things like education, healthcare, social assistance can actually work to grow an economy?
Absolutely. I think that you're right that there is a misconception in this election campaign that government is somehow opposed to a strong economy, and you could either have, you know, a strong government or a strong economy. Well, in reality, you need both. The government plays a very important role in the economy in several different ways. It sets the rules, you know, and regulations, and that's very important. We see, for example, what happens when there are no regulations in Bangladesh, you know, of a garment factory caused more than 300 people to die at the job because there are no standards and regulations around safety. So these are kind of things that government puts in place. In British Columbia, we have seen huge cuts to the employment standards ministry, for example, in 2002, and now we have much less capacity to oversee employment standards and make sure that workplaces are safe. So this is one role that the government plays a role, and I think it helps the economy when our workplaces are safe. The other way government can help is by direct investment. We are not paying attention to the fact that government is actually can contribute to a productive economy through direct investment, through creating jobs directly, whether it's in healthcare or education. Or if you look at BC, for example, the biggest investment that has come into BC over the last few years is actually the federal shipbuilding contract.
Mm-hmm.
And the federal shipbuilding contract, $8 billion worth of investment, is paid by taxpayer dollars. So this is an example of the public sector being an investor, creating value and creating jobs for our economy.
Iglika, I just wanted to jump back to the resource topic that you mentioned earlier. On the one hand, I mean, isn't that, on the one hand, Canada's blessed with all these resources that generate wealth, but how could we use that in a way that wouldn't necessarily generate this roller coaster effect that you were mentioning?
Absolutely. I think we are blessed, and we should use our resources in a responsible manner. I think we first of all need to look at protecting the environment and people's health when we're extracting those resources, and we are not paying enough attention to that, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But we also need to protect ourselves from the global commodity prices swings. We need to create more value-added jobs. So instead of just digging the resources out of the ground or cutting the trees and exporting them, we need to make something out of them. We need to build on the economy. And that is how we free ourselves from roller coaster, if you like. And also we need to look at diversifying the economy, because the resource sector can create a lot of profits and money, but it actually doesn't create that many jobs.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in the natural gas sector, BC, we only have 3,500 jobs, and that's out of 2.3 million for the whole province. So one out of every 660 workers in BC is employed in the natural gas industry. It's not a lot, and we need to look at other industries that employ more people, which is education, healthcare, but also high-tech industries. We have a lot more people employed in, say, film, in creative industries than we have in natural gas and oil. And we're not paying enough attention to that. So when we diversify the economy and focus on these other sectors is when we're going to be less dependent on the global price swings of resources.
Yeah, to shift the conversation a bit, the new living wage for Vancouver came out this week and now calculated at $19.62 per hour. I know that you worked on that report. Can you tell us how the living wage is calculated?
Yeah, the living wage is calculated as the wage that two working parents with two children need to earn in order to get enough money to cover a very bare-bones budget in the community they live in. So the living wage is very much based on local prices, so it takes into account local rent, child care, transportation costs. So it's different for different communities. And we last week we released the living wages for Vancouver, so Metro Vancouver, but also for Greater Victoria and the Fraser Valley. So they're all different numbers depending on the local price of the things the family, the basics the family needs.
Yeah. So what would be the impact of living wages on the economy if that is actually what we were able to achieve?
I think that being able to lift the wages of low-income people up would have great impact on the economy. One of the things that you see when low-income people get more money in their pockets is that they actually spend more in the local economy.
Mm-hmm.
So it represents a boon to local businesses. It also means that they're healthier and better educated typically because they don't have to spend their life in severe financial stress and wondering where you know they're going to be homeless tomorrow or what they're going to feed their children. But that reduces their healthcare costs over the long run. It reduces the social service costs over the long run. They draw less on government programs like social assistance and actually contribute through taxes to help us fund education and healthcare for everyone. So it has a great benefit over the long term to the economy and also great benefit to these people, because let's not forget a large number of families in British Columbia. In fact, about 40% of families with children in Vancouver do not make the living wage. So that means that they live in constant financial stress, and that is why we're seeing household debt growing at such levels because people just cannot afford to live in the city on the incomes that they earn.
Yeah, yeah. It's sort of important to remember that the economy is about you know individual people's lives as well as you know just numbers. So how do you see us getting moving ahead? How do we get there in terms of living wages?
Well, I think we get ahead by investing in things that help us get there in the long run. So education, healthcare, also helping with the basic expenses. So the thing with the living wage is that it can be achieved in many ways. So $19.62 for Vancouver sounds like a high wage, but it's so high because rent is so unaffordable and because childcare is so expensive. So if mm-hmm. the government was investing in affordable housing, or in particular in childcare, for example, we all have heard of the $10 a day childcare plan that's being mm-hmm. promoted by some groups. So if we had the $10 a day childcare plan, the living wage would be $3 lower for both parents. So they would each have to only earn about $16.50 or so to meet their expenses because childcare is such a large part of their expense. So government can do a lot mm-hmm. to help families, not just by giving them money, but also by providing the services they rely on
yeah.
so that they can have a high quality of life, regardless of their earnings.
We're going to need to be winding up really quick, but maybe before we wind up, you can talk a little bit about the fear that people have that if we go down the road that you're describing, we'd face a financial crisis like in Europe.
I think that what's happening in Europe is a little more complicated. We need to look at where our starting point is. So our starting point here is we have very affordable debt levels. In British Columbia, the third lowest debt government debt level of all provinces, after Alberta and Saskatchewan, who we know have a lot of resources, and that's why they have low debt. So we are very, we have very manageable debt. We're nowhere near the levels of debt that exist in some European countries, mm-hmm. and we have very low taxes in our province as well. So we have room to make investments without having to borrow necessarily all that much. We can make investments by increasing our taxes, by making people who have a little bit more pay a little bit more, and covering the cost that way. And in the long run, we will have a better educated, healthier, and more productive population.
Okay. All right. We have to leave the conversation there, and I hope we have an opportunity to talk and explore these and some other issues more fully another time.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Iglika.
That was Iglika Ivanova of the Canadian Center for Policy Alternatives.
Every weekday from 7 to 8 a.m., Media Mornings brings you independent news and culture you won't hear anywhere else.
Daily headlines, interviews, countless local voices, and our Latin America report help you make sense of today's news from Coast Salish territories to global affairs.
Guests include David Suzuki.
Media become hostages of the corporate agenda, and thank God for the independents like you.
Indigenous activists like Pam Palmater.
This kind of radio show helps inform Indigenous and non-Indigenous people and hopefully inspire our Indigenous citizens to take action.
Social justice advocates like Maud Barlow.
We are continue to be America's gas tank, although now we want to be the gas tank for the world.
Artists like Kenny Starr.
Change is created by lots of different types of activists.
Ray Spoon.
Gender is limiting and affecting everyone.
And authors like Michael Parenti.
The state is at the service of these corporations.
So tune in to Media Mornings, weekdays 7 to 8 a.m.
on Vancouver Co-op Radio 100.5 FM and podcasting at W2Media.ca.